Thanks again for tuning in one last time, at least for now, to our audio series on the Affordable Care Act. This time we'll be talking about the fifth title of the Act, which focuses on the healthcare workforce. Stay tuned. The healthcare workforce. The last title we will talk about in this series is Title 5 of the Affordable Care Act, which focuses on the healthcare workforce. Upon completion of this section, the participant should be able to identify the focus of Title 5, identify a major barrier to access to healthcare in rural communities, discuss the purpose of the National Health Service Corps, define the connection between oral health and medical status, articulate why mental health is a key focus of the ACA, identify primary healthcare practitioners that should see an increase in the numbers with the implementation of the ACA. The Affordable Care Act is designed to offer adequate healthcare treatment to all Americans regardless of income level or ability to pay through the provision of insurance. Insurance is offered at a subsidized cost to those who cannot afford insurance premiums. In an effort to increase the efficiency of the healthcare system, the improvement of the health status of the public in general must be increased. The ACA provides a framework for this to be done through education and increasing access to affordable and convenient healthcare throughout the country. Increasing access to healthcare will have an effect on the health status and provide improvements through prevention and routine treatment, which will ultimately reduce the overall cost of providing health care to the entire country. Many Americans, particularly those in rural and underserved communities, do not have adequate or convenient access to primary health services. This is in part due to a lack of health care workers available in those areas. The ACA provides incentives for the recruitment and retention of health care workers, including doctors, nurses, and other practitioners, to those areas that traditionally have a shortage. The ACA also provides for the support of the existing workforce and seeks to increase the diversity in the healthcare workforce through grants, scholarships, and training so that adequate numbers of workers can be recruited and retained in areas where they are needed. One of the biggest problems facing the healthcare system in the United States is the lack of appropriately trained healthcare professionals at the primary level. In order to address this shortage, a series of federally funded programs will be established to encourage more Americans to enter the healthcare profession. One of the primary barriers to entering the health profession is the cost of education. To address this particular barrier, the ACA allows for the establishment of loans and loan repayment programs for nursing students, allied health workers. Allowing easier access to educational loans and offering a loan repayment program in exchange for service in an underserved area will increase the number and diversity of workers available at basic levels of the healthcare system. The public healthcare system, i.e., those clinics funded by the public and for the public, also receives incentives in terms of the establishment of recruitment and retention programs for the public workforce. This includes allied health services, such as laboratory and aide-type personnel, along with nursing, social services, physicians, and therapists. Both state and local governments and other groups will be eligible for funding for programs that are designed to increase the numbers of professionals and availability of services to underserved communities. Funding has also been made available for the National Health Service Corps, which allows graduates to work off part of their educational loans with service in certain types of healthcare settings, such as rural or inner-city areas. The ACA also provides funding for nurse-managed health clinics, which can offer basic health screening and routine treatment using properly trained nurse practitioners and physician's assistants who operate under the supervision of a physician. These services can be provided at a much lower cost than traditional physician-only practices and would be more immediately available for someone in a small community who would otherwise have to travel long distances to an urban medical center. Establishing ready care for public health centers increases the rate at which the American consumer will use routine and preventative care and not delay treatment until a more expensive, urgent, or emergent condition has developed. Healthier people spend less on health than sick people do. More frequent routine visits to a healthcare facility can prevent more serious and costly illness. grants to promote positive health behaviors and outcomes. The ACA authorized grants to eligible entities to promote positive health behaviors and outcomes for populations in medically underserved communities through the use of community health workers. This, in my opinion, is one of the many parts of the Act that has implications for the health educator or community health worker. In establishing this grant program, a community health worker is defined as an individual who promotes health or nutrition within the community in which the individual resides by serving as a liaison between communities and healthcare agencies, providing guidance and social assistance to community residents, enhancing community residents' ability to effectively communicate with healthcare providers, providing culturally and linguistically appropriate health or nutrition education, advocating for individual and community health, providing referral and follow-up services, or otherwise coordinating care, and proactively identifying and enrolling eligible individuals in federal, state, local, private, or nonprofit health and human service programs. Let's talk a bit about the establishment of additional training programs. The American healthcare system has shifted itself toward a series of specialists rather than a primary care-heavy system. This increases the cost of healthcare, as specialists are more expensive to train, and treatments by those specialists tend to cost more. Greater access to primary healthcare specialists will increase the overall health through prevention and disease maintenance, which will ultimately decrease the need for specialists. The ACA provides opportunities and funding for an increase in practitioners specializing in primary concerns such as family practice, internal medicine, pediatrics, physician's assistants, nurse practitioners, and dentistry. This type of practitioner can treat most, if not all, health concerns for the average patient and will be more readily accessible. Additional training for direct care workers, such as registered nurses, practical nurses, medical aides, dental technicians, and patient care assistants, will be made available with public health funding. The ACA also makes accommodations for neglected but expensive health conditions. Mental health disorders have been a traditional area of limited access for those with limited funding, though mental disorders can be costly both to the individual and to the public at large. Increasing screening for and the treatment of those with mental disorders from substance abuse and depression to more serious conditions can be done through increasing the supply of trained mental health care workers at the community level. The ACA provides for grants that are available for training and education to mental and behavioral professionals and for professionals who work with disability issues. Identifying health concerns that use a large portion of resources is key to reining in healthcare costs. With proper treatment of those costly illnesses and conditions at an early stage, financial outlay can be optimized for the greatest benefit to both the individual and the American taxpayer. In summary, a major issue for many Americans has not been willingness, but access. Increasing the number of professionals available at the basic healthcare level while providing access to even those who previously could not afford care, will provide the best cost-benefit ratio possible. Prevention and early treatment is key to increasing the well-being and general health of the public, which decreases the amount that must be spent on actual intervention. This concludes our in-depth talk about the Affordable Care Act and titles of the Act that have implications for public health practice. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, we've come to the end of our audio series. It was wonderful having you listen in and learn more about the Act. We hope we've provided you with a better understanding of the Act, so whether you were tuning in just for continuing education credits or to improve your advocacy strategies, at least you know what's at stake should the Act be repealed. Or should it be amended, you'll be better informed as to what can be improved upon. We hope to keep you updated. Bye for now.